No?
No.
Next time. Oh, okay, sorry. Next time.
So we're just going to continue to pass around the buckets. It's interesting preaching in a spirit-led church, because you get up at the end as a preacher, go, well, really, what's left? Covered. Let's all go home early. It's kind of encouraging that you are. We're all kind of hearing from God at the same time. It's kind of like, why did I put so much time into this? It was all going to happen in the moment anyway. But it really is a pleasure and a privilege to be in church today and just to experience the presence of God and to come together and encourage one another. You know, sometimes in life we don't know how good we've got it until we've lost it. That sounds like a country and western song, doesn't it? And this church really does have just such an incredible abiding presence of God. And for those of us who've been here for many years, it's good to remind ourselves that God really has placed something on this church for our benefit and for purpose as well, that we would go out and change the world. I wanted to carry on with the theme that's come through, which fortunately I received in the past few weeks. And I want to talk about having New Year's revelations. And one of the guys already mentioned around, you know, we make resolutions. I think it was Hugh, actually, which was right in line with what I was talking about today, is that we can make resolutions and decisions of our will, which are fantastic, but they tend to be a little bit limited by our thinking. They tend to be a little bit limited by our past. And what I want to talk about today is being on a journey where we allow God into our heart to reveal stuff to us, which really recreates us and explodes our view of the future. Because I believe that every person in this room has some inkling and some belief that you have greatness inside of you. That there's been seeds put in through your times with God, through prophetic word, which you sometimes dare not to believe because they're so extravagant and they're so ridiculous that at times they just seem so far out from your grasp that you don't even contemplate them. But I want to tell you that God puts those things in you so that you would go on the journey of becoming that person you need to be to embrace that destiny. And so I hadn't planned on going here right now, and I prepared during the service, but in this past week, I visited my father in Perth. He's in his last days. My father was the first person to make a public commitment to Christ in the first church we planted, and has full-on served God from that moment in February 1990 until this day. And as I was talking with him, encouraging about the kingdom realities that he lives in are in his future, he said to me, "You've so amazed me with what you've done in your life. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to keep praying for you." I'm going, this man can hardly breathe and hardly function is praying for me right now. So what an incredible journey from the day we meet Christ to the day we, in Monty Python terms, shuffle off this mortal coil. I'm sorry if that offends you, but when we drop this flesh and live as spirit and soul with God, that God has put stuff inside of us to recreate heaven on earth, for us to be the conduit for His glory and His presence to fill the earth. Our role is actually to go on a journey to believe that we have a significant part to play in that. And that God places things inside us that in their full germination, we become people who literally bring heaven to earth. I want to read something to you that the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, if you can put it up on the screen. He said, "Not that I have already attained," I'll read anyway, "or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, Forgetting those things which are behind. It sounds familiar about the theme. This is my opening bit on my page. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, New Year's a great time to reflect and reflect on the past, consider the future. And it may seem a little bit arbitrary, but it's really important to have key moments in our life where we do really important things. When the Lord had control of his people's calendar in the Old Testament, he put seven feasts in there with seven different focuses so they wouldn't lose sight of the really important things they needed to continually have before them. One of those feasts was the Feast of the First Fruits, where they brought their first fruits of their produce before God. That was to remind them of their priorities, that he is good, he is their provider, and to reset them on their dependence on him. And whether we do it today, tomorrow, this week, we've done it in November or doing it in April, at some point we need to reset ourselves and say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. I put your kingdom first. What does that mean for me? And if you haven't done it in the past 6 months, New Year's is probably a good time for you to do it. I generally have attended this in November so I can have an easy Christmas. For those of you who have not done it, well, it's time. There's some really fortunate things that Paul says in this passage. Paul is actually in his mid-60s there. We know that life expectancy of the time depends on who you read, that it's between 35 and 65. 35, I think, for people who are working at the quarry, and 65 for people with desk jobs. I don't know. But Paul was certainly considered at the end of his life. And he had certainly done significant things. He had been on three missionary journeys, which lasted from 2 to 4 years each. He had written half of the New Testament. And he had a lot to reflect on what he had already done and achieved. But he said, listen, I haven't apprehended, I haven't completed, I haven't taken hold of. He's literally saying, I haven't really grasped the call of God in my life. The call of God really hasn't overtaken me, and I've certainly not completed it. Now, it really doesn't matter at what stage of life we are. We have the opportunity to forget what is behind and stretch forward to what is ahead. Whether we're 65 like Paul, or whether we're 8 years old like King Josiah, who said all of a sudden the will of God landed on his life to be king. Or Moses, who was 80, where the will of God landed on his life to deliver Israel from Egypt. It doesn't matter what stage of life we're at. We have this thing on us where the adventure is just about to begin. You know, I'm fortunate I got saved when I was at university at 23, and I get to visit myself from time to time, that 23-year-old, when I go back to Perth and connect with some of my old uni buddies who haven't met Christ and who are stuck in their fatalism, pessimism, waiting for retirement, life's burning out on them. Whereas in the kingdom, my life starts afresh today. I'm on a new journey. Doesn't matter what I've done, doesn't matter where I've been. I have a new experience ahead of me. And so whether you're 8 or 80 today, it doesn't really matter. Whether you're male or female, whether you're introvert or extrovert, it doesn't matter. God has a incredible journey, an upward call on your life right now that he's waiting for you to embrace, because he has an ultimate plan to bring heaven to earth. And to me, that's an exciting reason to get up every morning and to dialogue with God about what is it in me, Lord, that you want to shift. And the meaning of these words in here, when Paul says to forget, it literally means to purposefully neglect. I need to neglect some things. And when he says to reach forward, it means to stretch myself out upon. There's some things that I need to purposely remove from my thinking, and there's some aspects of my thinking that needs to change. Romans 12, verse 2. If you want to throw that up, I don't know where that is. Hopefully that's the next one on the list. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, we aren't transformed, or we don't grasp and fulfill the will of God by conforming to things, by saying, you know, the world has all sorts of systems and processes and promises around how we can be different people. If you think like this, if you exercise this. And much of it is just about conforming our behavior. If you act in a certain way, you will get certain outcomes. That's not really God's plan for our life. His plan is transformation. His plan is to get at your insight and to so radically reassess your mindset that you live out of that renewed mindset and live a transformed life. Now, it's interesting to me, Romans 12, verse 2, if you can throw it up, says, don't be conformed to this world. I think, to me, there is value in being conformed to the kingdom. We call this discipline. Discipline is really important at times because, I don't know about you, I don't naturally want to do things that are good for me. Anybody else? I naturally don't want to do many kingdom things that I read in the scriptures that say, if you do this, you'll live a good life. I don't want to love my enemies. I find them horrible people. You know what I mean? But if I despise them and I hate them, it's actually not good for me. And so we ought to, at times, I believe, conform to the kingdom. That's called discipline. And discipline is really important when we don't want to do what we know is good for us. Hillary and I went to New Caledonia a couple of years ago on holidays. And I got a three-day car hire. That was pretty good. And everything within me, when I got in that car, wanted to drive on the left. Right. However, if I was to drive on the left, I would be in a lot of accidents. You drive on the right there. And so every time I turned a corner, keep on the right, keep on the right, keep on the right. My mindset was drive left, but the kingdom of New Caledonia says drive on the right. And so I needed to do things to keep myself safe. And so we have to recognize that in our life, there are times we need to conform to the kingdom, do things that we don't really want to do because we know we have a good outcome. That's called discipline, but discipline is not God's highest, I don't believe. Transformation is God's highest, where we actually want to do the things that are good for us. And so discipline, to me, is a channel to transformation. It shows me the promise. In fact, in the New Testament says, I've got the reference here, those who like references, Galatians 3, 24 and 25, it says, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. To me, the law is the same as discipline. It's like, if you do these things, it will bring life. But in the New Testament, it's about these things are meant to lead us to an understanding of our need for Christ, that we'd be transformed and want to do the things that are good for us. Now, I'd like you, just for a moment, to close your eyes and bow your heads. And I want you to consider this time next year. I want you to picture yourself sitting in that chair. Who do you want to be? What sort of a person do you want sitting in that chair? What is it about yourself that you would love to see transformed? You'd love to see an inner desire overwhelming your world so that you go about living life differently. Perhaps you'd like to be a more loving person. Perhaps you'd like to be a more giving person. Perhaps you'd like to have more confidence of laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. Perhaps you'd like to do some great venture for the kingdom. Perhaps you'd like to be in intimacy with other people, that you'd be sharing your life with them that you'd be mutual encouragement on your journeys. Who is it you want to be in a year's time? Often, as already said by Hugh, we have resolutions. That's kind of that's the law, that's the discipline, but what's the transformation that you're seeking within yourself? What if you're sitting in that chair this time next year and you are exactly the same person? How disappointing would that be? Paul gives us the answer. He says, you know what? You just need to neglect some stuff and you need to stretch yourself out of some stuff. You don't really know what your mindset is because that's the way you see the world. You don't really know what's limiting you because it's limiting your perception. And so it's my conviction that we need to put ourselves in environments where our mindset gets upgraded, challenged, imparted to. And so my question is, as you're considering this with the Lord, by the way, we've still got our eyes closed and we're still with God. What is it about this coming year? What environments are you going to place yourself in which are transforming environments for you? Yeah, it's great to have discipline. Please, it's not a message for us to go out and just do what we want to do. But how do you want to be different? Because I am firmly convinced that we don't have an ounce of understanding of the potential that God has placed in us to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. Ephesians tells us, it says it's far more above than we could ever ask or think. And so we need to allow ourselves. You know, 2 Corinthians has a great little phrase in it in verse 17. It says we come with open or unveiled face. We need to be laid bare. We need to open ourselves up for the transforming processes of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. We need to unveil our face, and you say to the Lord, you know what? I want to purposely neglect my view of myself. I want to purposely neglect the mindset I have about who I am and what I can do and why I'm here. Because at the end of the day, each one of us is a body and a spirit responsive to God. And we can do anything. We can do anything that God transforms our mindset to believe we can do. And so we need to have an unveiled face. And say, you know what, I'm going to take the ropes off. And I'm going to dare to believe that anything is possible with my life. Because I get totally shocked and surprised. You know, I have the privilege here of working with a group of students every year. We in our full-time college who've put 2 days a week aside to go on this process. And say, you know what? I want to be a different person at the end of the year. And you don't need to come to our college to do this, but what you do need is to stretch yourself out. And we can do that personally, and we need to, I believe, orient our desire and say, express our desire to God. We need to activate our spiritual life. We need to really understand the life of our soul and how to dial down and how to really be still and know that He is God. And we need to develop our own revelatory environment. However, the Lord has this amazing thing called the church. And in this place, There's so many opportunities to stretch ourselves out to receive revelation and transformation. Now we have every week, obviously you're here, we have services. We have one-day prayer meetings, an incredible opportunity to stretch ourselves out. We have prophetic open nights. We have amazing healing ministry, healing rooms. We have recovery programs. We have all sorts of opportunities to stretch ourselves out. Because what I fear about my life is that in 1 year's time, I'd be exactly the same person as I am today.
So, I want to read just something for the second part of this message. Out of Ephesians 1, verse 17 to 19, if we can put this up. Because I believe that there is five main areas, five mindsets that need revelation from God for us to embrace the future, the potential future that He has for us. Now, Paul, the reason why the book of Ephesians is so rich spiritually is that Paul went and started the church with Priscilla and Aquila, and Apollos joined the church, and Paul moved on really quickly, and many years later he came back and he met some disciples, and they, first of all, this is in Acts, maybe 28 or somewhere. The disciples at Ephesus said, "Oh yeah, we're being baptized, but we're being baptized into the baptism of John." So I don't know what was going on at the church at Ephesus, but they weren't being baptized into Jesus. And then Paul started to talk about the Holy Spirit, and the disciples there said, "Well, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit." I mean, that's some serious teaching problems going on in that church. And so when Paul writes Ephesians, it's rich with spiritual stuff and it's comprehensive. It gives a comprehensive view of spiritual matters. And so it's a really great place to look if you're wanting to fuel yourself spiritually with the Word. And he writes in here, his prayer for them, that they would get revelation in five areas. It says, his prayer is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. I think as we reflect and review and come wanting to be transformed, I think these are five areas which we ought to consider. And in a moment, I'm going to get you to consider, what is it about this package, this spiritual package, that you would like a mindset change on? The first one is about a revelation of the knowledge of Him, who He is. You know, I talk to many people who have a call of God to do something on their life, and security and money and fear hold them back from pursuing it. What we're really saying when we say that is that God is not going to be good to me in my future. Let's face some facts. If we had a revelation of the knowledge of the goodness of God, we would embrace our future with uncertainty. Well, apparent uncertainty. But we would embrace the things that He has before us, because we know that He'll be as good to us in our future as He is to us today, maybe through a different channel, in a different way. But we need a revelation of the knowledge of Him to embrace everything. His faithfulness, that when I step out to pray for a person, He's going to be there with me. He's not going to be using it as some teaching session. See how you go by yourself then. No, He's going to be with you. He is God who is ever present with us. And so as we purpose ourselves, as we stretch ourselves about on the knowledge of Him, our life is transformed, because we know He's going to be good and faithful and consistent to us in every situation we face. The second thing it says is that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened. There's a revelational journey where we begin to see things from a kingdom perspective. We begin to see difficulty and opportunity and all these things for the possibility of what God is doing in the midst of them. Rather than being all worried about this or that, we go, you know what? This is how I see the kingdom coming through this. This is how I see God working for this. And to me, this is a revelational journey that we can stretch ourselves out on. Lord, give me the eyes to see how you want your kingdom to come in my situation. And I think in my life, there's been two main ways that God has really changed my mindset. One is through revelation and encounter, and the other is through prolonged difficulty. Now, I don't know about you, I prefer the revelation and encounter. I prefer to stretch myself out on His revelation, His spiritual stuff to get into me, than being forced to change my mindset because of His love for me not to keep living that way. I heard a lot of chuckles when I said that. Has anyone else been in that experience? Yeah. So let's stretch ourselves. The third thing, it says the hope of His calling. I think the fundamental problem for many of us is we think that our calling is insignificant or limited, or it doesn't really matter if I do what God is calling me to do in the big picture of things. We need a revelation that our individual calling is essential to His purposes. That what He has put in my heart and spirit is, other people might not understand or value, but gee, to me it's the most precious thing that I have. That's the hope of my calling, the hope that it actually means something. And it does. And so one of the things we ought to stretch ourselves out on is to understand the value, understand our calling and understand its value. The reality is that every calling has great effect in the moment, but it's preparing you for the next step. Every time we're obedient to God in what He's asked us to do, it has an immediate effect, but it also is preparation for the next thing He's asking us to do. If you really want to have a lifetime of effectiveness, just take the next step. Don't hesitate and say, well, you know, when I'm feeling this or that or other, get a revelation of the hope of your calling and embrace the importance of what it is for the kingdom. The fourth thing it says here in Ephesians 1 is the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. I won't focus on this, but just becoming increasingly aware of what He has promised you. And the last thing is around the exceeding greatness of His power. I was reflecting on this stuff this morning. You know what? You know, at Stairway Church, one of the great things we see up here is a great variety of people who have strengths in different aspects of this revelation of these things. If you really want to take forward progress in your revelation of the knowledge of Him, sign up for a college course with Peter and Lynn around identity and intimacy. Just immerse yourself in that stuff, because that will really revolutionize your life and revolutionize the way that you embrace your future. If you really want to have a revelation of the exceeding greatness of His power, sign up for a course with Tash, who does great stuff in our college. Now, this is a college plug because I'm the college principal and the hat's going on for a moment. But we've got to find opportunities to immerse ourselves. Whether that's in college or whether that's in other places that we find, you know, Jesus, when He wanted to establish His church, He just didn't leave a few letters and say, go for it. He got people to assemble for 40 days and said, you want to launch yourself into the founding of the church, I want you to seek God and pray and fellowship and connect yourself with one another. And ask for the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to come in resurrected form and teach you on the kingdom for 40 days. And I reckon you'll be about right. Each of us needs
concentrated focus at key points in our life where we stretch ourselves out onto something to change who we are. And so my question from today is not what resolutions are you making, but what revelation are you getting? Because that's ultimately the purpose of the New Testament, to change us on the inside, that we go about living life differently because we want to. We don't abandon discipline. We recognize its importance for the things we're not yet renewed in. However, a life of discipline is somewhat not God's best, in my opinion. Others might differ, but there you go. And so as I kind of wind up this morning, and I'm going to hand over to Pete and Lynn in a moment, but I just want us to take a final moment here and reflect, just to bow our heads. And what is it about my life? Ask the Lord this. What is it about what I do and how I structure my life? How am I stretching myself out? What am I needing to neglect? What am I needing to push to the side? You know, as Andrew said, sometimes they're bound up in disappointment or our perception that God wasn't good at some point in our life. That stuff is not going to help us. What do I need to stretch myself out onto? Is it about the knowledge of who He is? Do I really need to embrace afresh the goodness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God? And what environments am I placing myself in to really believe that I'm going to be a different person in 12 months? What is it about my personal world? How I express desire for God, how I engage spiritually, how I manage my soul. What is it about my personal world that's giving me confidence that I'm allowing my mindset to be challenged, to be adjusted? And what is it about your involvement here at Stairway that you are capitalizing on just world-class opportunities to be transformed? The conferences we have, the events we put on, the services, all these opportunities to unveil our face before God and allow His transforming presence to recreate us for the upward call of God in our life. The next thing for you to do is to get your device, go to stairway.org.au/calendar. See exactly what opportunities are there. Now, I just wanted to include, as Pete and Lynn come up, I have this overwhelming urge within me this morning, and I've never been a motivational speaker, you know, try to get people G'd up on something by promises that can't be fulfilled. But I want to tell you, you have greatness inside you. And we hear prophetic words over our lives, and we go, wow, that's amazing sometime. But Josiah, at 8 years of old, 8 years of age, had to step into it. Gideon had 5 minutes to be transformed because the angel of the Lord came and changed his mindset with, you're a mighty person, I'm with you, I've called you, go and do this thing. It's about unveiling our face before God, accepting the reality of who He is, of what He's called us to be, what He's given to us, and paving a different future out of that different mindset. Perhaps, Pete and Lynn, you can think it's appropriate New Year that these guys come and lead us as we finish up.
Hello. I think I'm on. Thanks, Wayne. That was great. Just a wonderful message for us all to hear at this time of the year. Pete and I have the privilege of just being able to conclude our last time together for 2017 with a time of prayer. So, yeah, thanks, worship team, for coming. As I was doing a few things around the house this morning and praying and just talking to the Lord, I was asking about, well, Lord, what does 2018 look like? And what I felt the Lord say to me is has been echoed very strongly through what's happened here this morning, through before the service when Dave was speaking and leading the prayer, to the worship, to Hugh, to Wayne. And so I'd like, if you can all stand with me this morning. I felt the Lord say to me that 2018 is all about Him. That everything else comes from it being about Him. And that it's putting our focus and our eyes on Him. And that 2018 is a year where we know more deeply the love of the Father. We fall more in love with the person of Jesus. And where we learn to walk more fully in the power of the Spirit. And that 2018 is going to be a year where we are pursuing breakthroughs. But the breakthroughs that the Lord has for us are not necessarily the breakthroughs that we're pursuing. For some, you'll be pursuing breakthroughs in provision, but you'll receive a breakthrough in compassion and justice. For some, you'll be pursuing a breakthrough in healing. And again, there'll be breakthroughs in your world in compassion and breakthrough in gifts of faith that come to you. The breakthroughs that the Lord has for you are not necessarily the breakthroughs that you're going after. And there'll be some around you who receive breakthroughs and who receive blessings and gifts that it appears that just come out of heaven, and they do come out of heaven. They come from the heart of the Father. And there may be a temptation to say, but Lord, why? Why not me? And the Lord's saying it's not a time to be looking at the others and saying, well, what about them, Lord? But it's a time for putting your trust in the love of the Father, in the person of Jesus and the power of the Spirit, that He does know the plans and the purposes that He has for you. That during those times of pursuing the things of God and the things that you have on your heart, He knows exactly the breakthroughs that you need. Don't be surprised at the unexpected. That for some it will be times of challenge and times of hardship. But for others it will just be, as I said, like this blessing that comes. But know that the Lord is the Lord of your walk and your journey. And He knows your heart. He knows what is best for you. As you make it about Him, He will lead you where you need to go. So it's stepping into 2018 without disappointment or discouragement, but it's stepping into 2018 with trust and faith and hope in the love of the Father, the person of Jesus, and the power of the Spirit. So, Father, we pray today, Lord, that we would be a people who seek You, Lord, with all of our hearts. We know You're always present, Lord, but, Lord, that we would be made so much more aware of Your presence in our everyday life, Lord, from the time we get up, Lord, to the time we go to bed. We would know that You are with us. We would be anticipating the unexpected. We would be taking the opportunities, Lord, to walk in those paths that You put before us, Father God. Knowing Your love, knowing the person of Jesus, knowing the power of Your Spirit and Your grace, enabling us to be the people that You are calling us to be. I thank You, Lord, for the call on Stairway, for the church, that we come together and we stand together, Lord, encouraging each other. I thank You, Father, for the call that You have on each one, on each individual, Father. And Lord, that we have a race that we run with You. We thank you, Father, that you put before us a future that is full of hope, Lord God. And you've given us every spiritual blessing that we need, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We honor you and we praise you. And we bless you, Lord, for what the future holds. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's been great faith released here today. There's been great faith released through the worship, great faith released through Wayne's preaching, great faith released through Lynn's prayer. The scripture says that faith without works is dead. And so I just really want to encourage you, as you leave today, you're going to be offered the opportunity to take a journal that we've bought for you that you can take with you into the new year. And in Habakkuk, it says that we need to write the vision down and make it plain so that we might run. And so the faith that's been released today, for it to land in your world and to transform you in the way that we've heard, you actually need to do something with that faith. And that faith, one of the greatest things I've discovered in doing my faith is to write things down, is to actually take the time. And I know I'm old-fashioned and I still use a pen and a paper. But scientific research proves that you remember more when you use pen and paper than you do when you use electronic devices. I'm not degrading or deriding the electronic devices. I'm just simply saying God has created you to write with your hand, on paper, with a pen, and it feeds your soul. Anyway, let me just say this to you. A handwritten Christmas card means a lot more to you than an email. Just saying. And so when you receive the journal today, I want to encourage you to do this. I want to encourage you to take what Wayne has said and do something with it. So here are the things that I heard Wayne say that you could put in the journal. On one page, write, what am I going to purposely neglect? And actually write some things down. And then come back and look at it every 2 weeks, at least, if not every week. On the next page, write down, what am I going to stretch out towards? And write some things down. On the next page, write out, what environments am I going to put myself in? So that I can discover how to be transformed in purposefully neglecting stuff and stretching out. Just 3 pages, write some things down on it. As Wayne said, our website is full of opportunities for you to step into these things. There's the college, there's all the Restore Ministries, there's Sozo, there's the Life Keys courses, and there's so many things on our website. The reason we do this is because our vision is for you. Here at Stairway, the vision, our vision, is to help you become the greatest disciple of Jesus Christ that you can become. And we live for you. We pray for you. We breathe for you. Everything about what we try and do here is that you would become a great disciple of Jesus. And so I can only encourage you, from following the Lord for 35 years and seeing a whole bunch of things that God has done, you know, so coming into this building exists because I wrote some things down one day. And I began to pray into them and I began to become the person that I needed to be because I didn't have faith that I could do this, along with a bunch of other people who have committed themselves to what we're doing here. But as you write it down and you get confronted by who you're not, so that you need to become who you need to be, you find God begin to do extraordinary things through you. Wayne is right. Every single person in this room, you have a call and a destiny on your life to change the world. For some of you, it's to change the world of your children. For some of you, it's to change the world of your neighbors. For some of you, it's to change the world of your workplace. For some of you, it's to change the world in politics, in education, in the building industry. For some of you, it's in the life of our church. But this is what I know, is that faith without works is dead. And so the faith that you've received this morning, we want you to activate it by doing some works around it. So let me just pray. Father, challenge each of us to do something with what we've heard today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would bother people for the rest of this week to write something down. They would feel drawn by your love and your commitment to them to do something with the faith that they have received today. And so, Lord, we bless you for who you are in our lives. We thank you for putting faith in our hearts. And now, Lord, I'm asking, bother people to do something with it, that they might genuinely change the world in which they live. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you guys. We're just so very grateful for another wonderful year here at Stairway. On behalf of Lynn and myself, all the governance teams, we just honour who you are becoming. We honour the journeys that you're on. We're just astounded at who you are becoming. And we're just so grateful that you're a part of what God is doing here. May you not get drunk tonight, unless it be in the Holy Ghost. May you love the Word of God more than you've ever loved it as you travel through into the new year. And we look forward to seeing you sometime in the new year. God bless you all. May you have a wonderful, wonderful time as you celebrate stepping into 2018. Thanks for coming this morning. See you now.